I'm glad to be with you again. It's been a pleasure to worship with you, and I'm grateful for the privilege to preach God's Word to you occasionally over the last 6 months, and thank you for the privilege. In our scripture today, there are actually four passages. The first two passages are the words of Jesus, and the others are from Paul. The scripture for the sermon is from John chapter 8. It's verses 12, 31, and 32, Galatians 5, 1, and 2 Corinthians 3, 17, and 18. And we begin, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. From Paul, For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Let us pray. O Lord, open our hearts to your Spirit and words of truth, that we may know you and be a free people. Amen. For some time, I have had a recording on my mind that is all Scripture, and it's actually from these passages that we have just read. It's on an old LP. I actually bought it when LPs were the thing. That's a few generations back. The song was written and arranged by a man named Paul Sholand and sung by a men's chorus, and it's titled The Light of the World. And it's, of course, title is from the first passage that are the words of Jesus. The words in this text are in the hymn. Are from the King James Version of the Bible. And I'll read that song text at the end of my sermon today. And the sermon title is the same, The Light of the World. There's some key words in these passages that are good for us to be thinking about. One of them is light. That's really a major theme in the passages. And the word light in Scripture often refers to truth, light of life, life itself, and guidance. And it's also thought of as being true knowledge, moral purity, and the light that shows the very presence of God. So light is a very rich word and has a lot of meaning in Scripture. And you can get some of the inferences from the context oftentimes, but we will read more about that as we go. Liberty is one of the key words also, and it talks about being free or freedom. And we'll talk about that more. And then darkness. Darkness has to do with bondage, slavery, delusion, and ignorance. Regarding freedom, the Oxford English Dictionary gives the following definitions. It starts with the state or condition of being free. There are three theology definitions for freedom. They are freedom from bondage or dominating influence of sin, spiritual servitude, worldly ties, etc. Another is freedom or release from slavery, bondage, or imprisonment. And then freedom from arbitrary, despotic, or autocratic control. Independence, especially from a foreign power, monarchy, and dictatorship. It's interesting in these descriptions, especially as you read the Old Testament, Israel experienced all of these forms of freedom or lack of freedom. So that is a very appropriate and helpful to have these definitions. Regarding light, we will be focusing on what God says about light in His Word, and only on a few vital aspects of that light. First of all, though, it's helpful to get things in context, and I think it's helpful for us to remember that God is one. He is perfect unity without division. There, of course, is the Trinity, the three persons of the Trinity, but God is in perfect unity. And as we consider certain aspects of God to try to know and understand Him, it's important for us to remember we can't divide Him. We may think in terms of division, but that's primarily because of the limitation of our knowledge and understanding. A believer knows God and yet can never fully know Him. But we are fully known by God. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. This is from John 1:4. And one aspect of light from the Word is the life of men. So as we think about the word light, and it's talking about life, it's talking about that very aspect of the life that we have that is a gift to us from God. And so when you see the word light, in Scripture, you need to remember that may be one of the meanings that is being brought. And I think it is in the passages that we have read. In 1 John 1:5, from a previous sermon, we heard, "This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." We know from Scripture that God is love, He's truth, He's holy, He's righteous, all-powerful, all-knowing, aware of everything, everywhere, at all times, and He is just. God is always against evil and sin. God does not lie. He is always good. He is all perfections. He does not change. He does not suffer. He cannot die. He creates everything that is. He is being. He said, "I am that I am." And He gives us being. He created you and me. He sustains us. He is holy, holy, holy. Complete and perfect holiness, as Isaiah witnesses to us from chapter 6 of Isaiah. Genesis 1:1 begins, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Just as God created everything, all the righteous attributes of light, truth, love, purpose, life, identity, etc., proceed from God. That is why Jesus said, for example, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus said this to Martha just before He raised Lazarus from the dead. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is resurrection, because without Him, it is not. The same applies to light, truth, love, purpose, life, identity. All of these things are from God. And so when we read things like that He is resurrection, it is because He is the source of resurrection. He's the source of all these attributes Many are gifts to us that we enjoy day to day. Others are important gifts that we will experience in eternity. The Oxford English Dictionary on the noun light is over 50 screens long. I read it online. I read much of the information. It's interesting, though, that there is no definition of light, but descriptions of characteristics and derivatives of the word. There is also a long list of adjective forms of the word light. Jesus, however, gives us a definition. He says, "I am the light of the world." We first encounter the word light in the beginning of the Bible in Genesis 1:3 that says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." The creator of the universe defined it, created every aspect of it, and it is. God is the source of all light, whether directly or by means provided in creation. This is also true for truth, love, purpose, life, identity, and there are other characteristics that it applies to, that where God is the source. I'm sure as you listened and read the scriptures, you heard a strong connection between light, truth, life, and liberty. Jesus, as the light, brings to this dark world true knowledge, moral purity, and the light that shows the very presence of God. All of John's writings flow from the reality of God in his spiritual perfection, moral excellence, and utter transcendence above everything. His light. John 8:12 says, and I'll repeat this passage, "Again Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus fulfills Old Testament promises of the coming of the light of salvation and the light of God. In John 8:32 that we read earlier, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." To abide in Jesus' word means to continue believing what Jesus has said and walking in obedience to him. He sets you free from the guilt and enslaving power of sinful patterns of conduct. You may recall that when Israel turned its back on God, it was common for God to allow oppressive governments to overtake them, to take their freedom. It's slightly humorous and yet stunningly sad that the Pharisaical unbelieving Jews of Jesus' day claimed, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" They said this while they labored and lived under the oppression of Rome. And Israel had been exiled and enslaved to other nations many times. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. Not only are they slaves to wrong, but they are also slaves to sin because they have not believed." In verse 36, Jesus said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Galatians 5:1 is giving us some instruction from Paul, and the title of the section is, "Christ has set us free." He said, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Galatians 5:1 to 12, that section is about judgment for those who turn from the gospel, who hear the gospel and turn away rather than believing. Those who turned the law for salvation, for example, will cut themselves off from salvation. Hence, Paul warns and encourages his readers not to defect. In 5:1, Christ has set us free from Jewish ceremonial laws and regulations, but not from obedience to God's moral standards. So we have a lot of freedom. I don't know if you think about that from time to time, but if you read the Old Testament, Israel was under considerable number of laws, of dietary laws and conduct of all kinds that we are free of today, and rightly so because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul also had some concern for the Galatians. In Galatians 4, 8, and 9, he said, "Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more?" In 2 Corinthians 3:17, repeating again from the earlier passage, Scripture says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." This freedom most likely refers to the many kinds of freedom that come with salvation in Christ and with the presence of the Holy Spirit, that is, freedom from condemnation, guilt, sin, death, the old covenant, and blindness to the gospel, as well as freedom that gives access to the loving presence of God. So what is the freedom that Jesus Christ gives us? John MacArthur, who some of you may know, says, and I really love what he has said and what is, I love his sermons anyhow, but MacArthur says, "It is to be free from sin, deception, oppression, depression, punishment, penalty, even the presence of sin, forever free from all sin." And that, by the way, is one of the greatest things that I look forward to in heaven, no longer being able to sin. That will be a great freedom. Referring to truth or light, because truth is definitely one of those definitions of light. When Jesus was standing before Pilate, Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" We should be reminded that Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So Pilate's answer is ours too. And that answer was standing before Pilate that day, the Creator, the truth incarnate, the life, the light of the world. That is truth. Jesus Christ is truth. He's the source of all truth. He created truth. So here's the text of the song that I really love, that I'm going to read it, but I'm going to read it as it's written and sung. So you'll hear a little repetition along the way, and a few words are missing from the passage. But this is all, the first two parts are Jesus' words, and again, the latter parts are from Paul. It says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free." Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be ye not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, the yoke of bondage. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then it repeats Jesus' words, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life, shall have the light of life. I confess to you, I'm a sinner saved by grace. I stand guilty, deserving death for my sin, but I am free, free from sin, guilt, condemnation, death and hell, free from what I deserve. Jesus Christ paid for sin when he gave himself as the perfect sinless sacrifice on the cross for me and for you. Because of him and his finished work, I am free. And if you believe and trust in him, you too are free. Isaiah 50:10 says to those who do not yet believe, let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Amen.